So, but we're gonna discuss a little bit of the challenges that goes on with managing finances, and also hopefully give you a few tools and some wisdom to actually make some changes or prepare for your life, especially for some of the young people here. Okay, since we're talking about finances, let's talk money. Okay? How many of us would like to have more of it? Anybody here have enough of it? And why do you want more?
There's only one way to heaven, that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Go ahead, John.
So, money, however, money is essential to acquire anything and everything on earth. Okay? It's not necessarily the end all, unless you're a thief, of course. All right? And even a thief needs money to purchase things that he can't steal. Right?
Business.
Yeah. Or stealing. And we're going to talk a little bit about our relationship with money here, too. So,
yes.
There we go. Okay. Should we feel guilty about wanting more money? It depends. Depends. Depends on the answer really is to that question is how do you plan on using it? You know, if we're going to start using things for our own personal gain and that's all that money is for, then it has no value in the kingdom of God. So it's important that we really understand how we plan on using it if we're going to serve God with it. Is money evil?
No.
An inanimate object can't be evil. But you have to need to understand what is evil and what we know the scripture, right? The love of money. Okay? In 1 Timothy 6:10 it says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." But some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So there's another scripture that talks about wealth gained hastily, that it will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. Now there's some wisdom to this scripture.
Absolutely.
Because it's a good example. Today there's some good examples of why this scripture is right on. If you look at people who go out and they put their money in the lottery, for example, and they get this real quick rich, all this wealth from winning the lottery. How many stories have you heard about people who have won the lottery that are now bankrupt?
Yeah. They actually, you know what? Say 50% of those that within 2 years are in worse shape than before they got it.
Yep. Because they never really learned how to manage money.
That's right.
But somebody who builds it,
yes,
little by little, okay, knows the value of the work and the labor that they put into it, that built that money and use it wisely, because they know that it took them all of these years to build it up and they're not going to just throw it away in one fell swoop. You know, gamblers are another example. And look what gambling does to people. And really, you know, be honest with you, I don't think money is the problem with gamblers. It's the rush of potentially winning. Because if money was the issue, they would keep what they won instead of reinvesting it into a bigger opportunity, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it has nothing to do with money. It's that rush. It's that flesh that gets the desire riled up and it wants to do more or get more and potentially win more. So it's because whatever they win, they're going to reinvest back into it to try to see if they can do it again.
Hey, John.
Yes?
I got a quick story on that.
Hold on. Ah.
Exercise. No, my son Nick, his girlfriend, her brother is a heavy gambler. Her father is too, but Nick went with him when that first casino opened up downtown. And he liked to play in that video poker, and he hit a royal flush for $25,000. And Nick said within like 6 or 7 hours, he gave it all back.
Yeah.
Plus another $2,000 out of his bank account.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that thing you're talking about, John.
Yep. So I've got a little tidbit of information here I thought might be interesting. Don't know if you guys want to know it or not, but I'm sharing it. When was money created? Okay. The first manufactured coins really came into existence about 700 to 500 BC. I laugh every time when you talk BC, you know, you have to go in reverse, right? And now I realize where my grandkids came from. Because every time you ask them how old you are, they say 5 or 4. Or they ask, how old is your sister? 5, 6, or 7, or 7 or 6, rather. So, I mean, I guess when kids are first born, they are born BC, and then they eventually become AD, right? But anyway, it was invented by the Chinese, and it spread to India, and then to a little country called Lydia, which is now part of Turkey. And in Lydia, they created the first front and back stamp coins, and that manufacturing process is now what we use today in all of our coins across the world. You know, the Chinese created a lot of different things. It's amazing when I look to see what China had created. They created the print press and paper. And they were the first ones in about 618 AD that created paper money. And they used to have their coins, I don't know if you've seen Chinese coins, but they have little squares or circles in them. And that was so that they could put them on chains and carry them around with them. So you didn't have to load up or carry bags with you or pocket change, you know. But then was the advent of the credit card, right? And then the credit card was really introduced in 1920s by the oil companies, by department stores and hotel chains who wanted to accommodate people who were just coming in out of town and that kind of stuff to allow them to purchase their goods on credit. The only problem with that is that whenever you went out on a trip, you had to carry about 24 credit cards with you because you never know where you were going to go, you know. But then came the first universal credit card, one that could be used by more than one, location. And that was called Diners Club in 1950. And then came American Express, and then came Visa and MasterCard, and it was all downhill from there. Okay, especially for us, the consumer. But what do you think poses the biggest challenge to our financial freedom? Yeah, us, actually. Poor planning. Poor planning puts a stress on your financial freedom. If you do not have a place to put that money, it'll probably go into something that you really don't need, but thought you did. The other thing, emotions. Your emotions drive just about every decision you make with money. You know, it's one of those things where you just have this urge. You need to purchase something. And as a matter of fact, we're going to look at some of that right now. Some of the things related to poor planning. Unfunded expenses. How many of us have property taxes coming up if you're paying them on your own? And there are people who do that because they don't like to put it in escrow that you've saved for. You know, you got property taxes, and I apologize for this going on and off. I don't know what's going on with it, but auto insurance. Today, more and more so, banks or insurance companies are taking it monthly. But there used to be a time when you had to pay it 6 or 12 months in advance. And that's the only way they did business. So, a lot of people lost their auto insurance because they didn't have the money to pay for it. Or they did something else in order to do it. Unexpected expenses. Leaky roofs. Appliance breakdown. How many have had something like that happen? Broken water pipes. Automobile repairs. There's a lot of things that can go wrong. Anybody else have any unexpected expenses that they've experienced?
The auto issues.
Huh?
I've had a lot of auto issues in the past. Also, I've child support randomly going up on me. because I started making more money, they tripled it on me.
Yep.
And it just, it actually hurt me for a while there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you, and if you don't,
medical expenses too that aren't covered. Medical expenses are always a big one.
Yep.
Not everything is covered 100%.
That's right. That's right. You got, if you have your big deductibles, especially now, and I sell insurance, so I'm sorry for you guys, but the deductibles now on some of these plans are $6,000-$7,000. And that's, and that, and you have to choose that because the premiums, especially if you're over 50, are $600-$800 a month. So you know, you get all of that kind of, you got, if you got insurance through your company, thank God for that, because you, it's getting really almost unaffordable for a lot of people.
And those premiums, you have to pay it whether you use it or not.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. You, well, you pay the premiums, and then you still got to meet your deductible.
My sister pays $800 a month whether she uses it or not, so she's paying $9,000 a year.
Just to protect herself from the potential.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's something that that is a reality, too. I mean, I went in the hospital for 3 days, and I know all of us have probably experienced something, but it, when I came out after 3 days, it was $45,000. Thank God I had insurance, because it only cost me $1,000. But, I mean, I would be, would have been bankrupt at that point if I had to pay that bill.
Okay. It tastes better.
Okay, we're going to continue here. All right. Okay. So then, some of the other things that we need to look at are unplanned events. You know what? If you have children, right? You know that they're probably going to get married someday. You know that if you're going to decide or determine to pay for that wedding, then that's something you need to start saving for. I mean, because weddings are not cheap, right? Also, graduation parties, again, and birthday parties. How many of us have come up to a birthday party and didn't save enough money to pay for the present that we were going to buy our children or our spouse or what, whoever we were going to do it? So, you know, those types of things are something that you need to plan for. You need to realize that if you've got five children and you're going to spend $100 on each children, and I know that some of us may spend more than that at times, but that's something that that you need to budget for.
Yes.
So that when it comes that time, you're not going to the other resources.
You used a dirty word there, John. Budget.
We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. Taxes due. You know, sometimes we don't calculate our taxes. We've got, we don't take in, we do our taxes every year and we've got a refund. Maybe we've managed to take out just enough so that we do get the refund, but for, if you have an increase in income, they only take out so much. So sometimes you need to actually plan in advance to tell your company to take out more money, so that you don't have a big bill at the end of the year. College tuition. Our parents didn't plan for it, but we're paying the bill, okay? And that's another thing, too. I mean, not everybody can afford college. It's not cheap. And but you know what? If you think you can, then, you know, it's something that you need to plan for if you're going to help your children through college. So what is our... what is our resource to pay for these unplanned expenses when we don't have the money to pay for them?
Credit card.
Credit card. There you go. Free money.
All right.
All right. Thank God for credit cards, right? I can now purchase things I can't afford. Yeehaw. You know? So, well, I've put that in there. Don't thank God, because he's not taking responsibility for your irresponsibility. You know, sometimes we think that, you know, we've been blessed because we've got the ability to pay for something that we can't afford. That's not a blessing, trust me. How many of us have credit cards in here? How many would agree that credit cards at some point changed your financial peace? What have credit cards done to you? Anybody want to share anything? I'll share my story, but go ahead.
Miss Sandy, she's always doing something, right?
I'm so quiet.
Okay, I remember back, I was about 18, got my first big job at Delray General Hospital, and I got a credit card, and I thought it was so cool. I went out and bought me a leather coat, leather boots, and a leather purse, all to match. Maxed it right out at the $500. I was making the $1.12 an hour, but I thought, oh, this is fine. Oh, yeah. So then I go to my dad, which I should have done before. He goes, are you crazy? What are you doing? You can't do that. He goes, all right, that's it. Cut it up and start paying it off. I goes, well, Dad, I only have to pay like $10 a month. He goes, for the rest of your life. So I cut it up, and it took me almost 2 years to pay it off. And I that's it. I learned my lesson. You know, and the shoes were worn out. The purse was all scratched, and the coat was out of style by the time I ever even paid the bill. So I learned real fast that if you're going to have a credit card, you got to pay it off every month or don't have it. Or it's just the convenience of, you know, if you get a plane ticket, you need a credit card. Or you're doing something else, you need a credit card for reservations. But other than that, you know.
No, you're right.
Go cash.
Pay by cash.
There's some places. We were, I think it was about beginning of, about in the summer, we went to the dentist office, right? It was just a small amount I owed. I started giving them cash. She said, we can't take cash. We can only take cards. Yep. We're not equipped to take cash. I thought, what? I've heard of everything.
That's right. Anything you do today.
Really?
But, you know, and my story was basically... I was in a good position at the job that I was in. I just took a new position at this company. I was making more money than I'd ever made before. Unfortunately, they thought that I was making too much money, so they cut my territory in half and gave me 6 months to make it up. They covered the difference. So after 6 months, of course, it was more than I could do in 6 months to make more money. They ended up. I ended up having to go to my cash and cash advance card and start paying for things that I couldn't afford anymore. Well, one thing led to another, and I ended up, you know, more debt than I can afford, and I ended up kept consolidating debt so that I would have the lower minimum payment, right, Sandy? And yeah. If I went with the lower minimum payment, it would take me 25 to 30 years to pay off my debt. So we're going to show and talk about a few things and some of the things that I did, but in this next slide, I got some questions for you. How many of us have opened up a new credit card to pay off another one because we didn't have the money to make the payment? I've done that. I've been in a situation where I couldn't make the next payment on the card, and the free card that they gave me with nothing, I didn't have to pay a percent or anything, I would just transfer it into that to give me some reprieve for 2 months, okay? And,
I remember you gave it for the Dave Ramsey thing.
Yeah.
You'd have the high-interest credit card, and you'd get a credit card where they say you could do a balance transfer for nothing for 12 months. So John goes, hey, that's what I do so I never catch up paying.
Yeah.
So I started doing
it. So you followed my lead? Well, you know what? The thing is that, you know, there's a lot of ways that you can be financially unsavvy and get the thing done. But how many of you have refinanced your house to pay off debt? I have. How many have done it more than once? More than twice. More than once, more than twice?
That was when he was unresponsible. That's why he's up here.
That's right.
Responsible now.
You're right.
I probably refinanced my house 3 or 4 times. Actually, the fourth time I did it was to lower my credit, my interest rate, and to reduce the amount of years that I took to pay me. That was more responsible at that point. But the 3 times I used my house to pay off my debt.
Yep. Yep. It's like a cash card. But I know people that's lived in a house for 15 years and owe more on the house now than when they moved into it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Roland got a interest only loan.
Yeah.
And that's the worst you can get.
I know, the worst.
Yep.
You'll never own that house.
No.
Where a lot of people. Is this on?
Yes.
Where.
Hold on, I'm sorry. It's me. It was me.
Where a lot of people go wrong, too, is like you said, they will go ahead and get overtime, and all of a sudden they got all this money coming in, mm-hmm. and they'll start spending it instead of saving some of it or using it to pay off debt.
Right.
Before you know, their hours are cut down.
Yep.
And like you said, they got all this debt that they can't afford to pay because they didn't learn to live on the 40 hours they got. Yep.
And that happened to a lot of people in the auto industry.
Yeah.
When I had people come through the financial peace class, I had a lot of people who were working with the auto industry who were used to make double time, are working like 80 hours a week, and now are cut back to 40.
Yep.
And now they could afford their life before, but they can't afford it now.
I used to joke. For a while, I had a job. I traveled around to all the GM plants in this area and taught classes. Guy I taught with, I said, I can tell you whether or not they're working overtime at this plant. You go over to the bulletin boards where they have things for sale. If there's nothing on that bulletin board, they're on overtime. You go over to one of the stuff's hanging off my boats for sale, my ATV, my car, because as they got that raise, they could afford more and always buy minimum down. But when things go bust, here they're having to sell it at half price.
Yep. Nope. And we get trapped, and the enemy traps us in that. But the big question is that, you know, why didn't this solve the problem? Because money wasn't the problem, we were.
Right. There you go.
And I'm going to go through some of that. But I have. I've refinanced, and I'm going to tell you that I was up in credit card debt. This wasn't my car or anything else. I was $55,000 in credit card debt. Now, why did I go through that? So that I could be up here today and tell you that today I am debt-free, and I do not. The only thing I own is my house, and that should be paid off in a couple years.
Amen.
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 And I think that, you know, the thing is that our trials of life are here to be a blessing for somebody else. So, you know, don't berate what you go through in life. Because God's teaching you something if you're willing to walk through it.
Yep.
There is something that He has in store for somebody else because your walk is a teaching opportunity for someone else going through the same thing. You can address it without judgment because you know you've been through it and you know the challenges it is for yourself. It was for you, so you can understand how it's a challenge for them. Now this brings us to our second part, which is our emotional attachment to stuff, right?
I have a stuff.
Stuff. And you know what stuff stands for, right?
No.
Silly tantrums undermining financial freedom.
That was
good.
All right? We may not see it this way because it was stuff we really needed.
Had to have.
Okay? And that's why I'm talking about the emotional thing. Here, I needed that 65-inch smart flat-screen TV because it's smart.
Amen.
Amen? And my 55-inch TV is 10 inches too small.
Amen.
Okay? Oh, go brag about it. And you know, it was the best deal of the century, right?
It was.
It's like that super fast computer. It was the best sale ever. Now 3 years later, you can buy that thing for about one third the price, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I know someone that has had issues, still does, with money, and they come to me, not him. He's cheap. And they come to me, and I says, but I thought you were wanting to save up for a house. Well, I am. but this is never going to be that cheap again. You don't understand. I'm saving money.
I know.
Spend money to save money.
My wife was probably the best shopper in the world. She never buys anything full price, ever. I can't even convince her, if I'm willing to pay for it, to buy it at full price. And yet, there was times when we needed to buy kids clothing, and I would say, and she would say, but I'm getting a good deal. And I say, but that good deal is just adding to our debt, you know. But we needed it. And it wasn't, it was just me being, because I was irresponsible previously, you know, taking it out on her, doing what she had to do for the family. So, but, you know, you get the super fast computer, you know, that it was the best sale ever, but that super fast computer, and I say to you, and I was too slow to say no. You know, I need that Mercedes. It's an important thing for my image. My image will be in a tank once it gets repoed. It was such a deal, I had to buy it. You know, that's a trap, actually. Sometimes the deals are buy. You know, we need a bigger house. It was a deal we couldn't refuse.
Yeah.
You know, and how maybe...
How would a company stay in business if they were really giving deals all the time?
Right.
Can't be.
It was a deal you couldn't refuse, but you also couldn't afford. We needed new furniture because the dog chewed it up. Well, maybe you ought to get rid of that goat and stop calling it a dog. You know.
Amen, brother. Amen.
I needed a vacation. It was a deal of a lifetime, and I'll spend a lifetime paying for it. So, but anyway, I have a little fun with that. But we are a society that is so used to immediate gratification. And the ease of credit has made us one of the lowest per capita savings of all industrialized countries in the world. We've got more money to spend than any country in the world, but we also save less than most countries in the world that have an industrialized society like we are. So what's at stake when we borrow? Limits your ability to actually build wealth. I just put an example here for anybody who's 30 years or younger. Yes. I can always redo this, but
well,
you know, yeah, for a second. If a 30-year-old took a $300 per month debt payment and instead it invested it in an 8% return IRA, they would have growth of over $660,000 by age 65. Now, you know, wouldn't it be nice to live in financial peace at 65 instead of worrying? I tell you, I do Medicare, and it breaks my heart, and I pray for people all the time about the fact that they have to pay for everything, and they're living on $1,100 a month or less. And that's only because their husband died and he didn't have any savings or didn't invest in their family. You know, it's not about the money again. I'm not here to teach you how to get money for your own personal use, but I'm here to tell you that God doesn't mean for you to be unhealthy in money either. You know, not only that, money is a source, a resource for the kingdom of God, because what we do, we have to send people out. So to me, in my opinion about wealth for the church should be the wealthiest institution on the planet. And we should be able to provide resources for the world around us, the community around us, so that they will honor what God is doing through us and see that we are a generous community. So there is nothing wrong with wealth. There is nothing wrong. You know, Solomon was wealthy, and he was, you know, he was in God's favor. I mean, but everything is put in its place according to the kingdom, not according to our hearts or the things that we determine. takes away your peace and increases tension in your life, especially with family. How many of us have known somebody who has gotten divorced or is separated because of finances? I mean, it affects everything. And it reduces, puts so much stress on us that we can't really do what God wants us to do sometimes because of these situations going.
John, they say the biggest argument with couples, married couples, is money.
Yep. Usually is. Because one wants to spend and the other one wants to save, or unfortunately, if both of you want to spend, that's another problem. takes away your legacy. Children are left to take care of parents, which drains their finances. You know, I know people who have built whole additions onto their house to take care of their parents. But, you know, in those cases, the parents had the money to add the addition. But in many cases, the parents can't afford it, and the children are taking care of them. And that makes it very difficult for them, especially if you've got, in most cases today, dual working families. You know. Puts a wedge between us and God. Many who have made poor financial choices sometimes blame God instead of taking responsibility for their poor planning. You know, they're praying and they're praying and praying, and they want God to deliver them from a certain financial situation that they put themselves into, and they expect that God's going to make that change for them instead of taking the responsibility and do it yourself, like I had to, you know, making the choices. And, you know, we were talking about that. And the way I got out of that debt, by the way, was I used the bank's system against them. And I paid, I kept borrowing 0% and zero fee credit cards and transferring my debt and paying down as much as I could in that year and then transferring it to another one, paying it down, and I was able to pay off my debt probably within 3 years.
Yeah, so you got away from paying the interest.
Yep. Because the interest will kill you. 18% interest, I mean, that'll take you probably a lifetime to pay off. And that's the problem that I had, is that I was transferring all this money into other cards so that I would have the lower interest, the lower payment that I could afford, and that was not in my best interest. So how do we overcome these financial challenges? You know, how much time do we have? Because I've.
That's probably a good break point right here, wouldn't it? Just stop and come back next week.
I could do that. I think I've got.
We don't want to.
I only have a few more sheets actually, but I do want to get into a budget. I've got. As a matter of fact, what I'm going to do right here is I'm going to pass out something that you can use. Maybe I can bring it back next week.
There you go.
Thank you. All right, so I'm going to need one more. Here we go, just in case my screen goes down. But what is on here is at the very top, of course, you can put the month if you want to copy these and use them. But it'll give you a better understanding of some of the possible things that could disrupt your finances. You'll see at the top it says monthly income. So that's the spot where you can actually put in the amount of income that you're making in a month. And then you're going to have your total monthly debt. Now your monthly debt is going to be determined by the amounts that you put in under these categories on both sides. And you'll see that we haven't talked about this, but we'll kind of go over this more in depth maybe next time. But I just want you to take a look at this. And if you want to, you can take this home with you. And if you're going to come back next week, bring it with you and we can kind of talk about it a little bit. But, you know, you have emergency funds, you have retirement funds. And some of these things now, if you're working, you don't need to put in there. Like if you have a 401k from work. You only put the retirement fund in there if you're going to do it after your income. But if the coming out of income, then you don't need to actually add a retirement fund in there. Or even homeowner's insurance if it's actually taken out of your escrow. Those kinds of things you wouldn't need.
When you have have monthly income down. Income. That means after taxes. The
actual yeah, tax. That's what you need. That's what you get to spend.
Yep. Gotcha.
So after they've taken everything out, your net income.
Yep.
And then, and you'll see some things in here that that maybe you should consider doing. And I've one of the things that I did, and I'll leave you with this, is that I took. I created a savings account. And they have these savings accounts out there now that actually pay up to 2% now. Ally Bank, I think, pays up to 2% return, and or a little bit over. And it's an account that I would put money into. It's what they call an online savings account. And you would I just take automatic withdrawals from my account, because you know what? When the money comes out of your check, you don't know it's missing.
Yeah, right.
You spend what you have.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
I found it out every single time. I would take money out of my account, I would send it into this secondary account, and I couldn't access it. I didn't have a credit card for it, or I didn't have a debit card or checks or anything. I didn't give myself access to it. And it took me 3 days to transfer the money, so I couldn't actually get it right away. But if I needed it, I could access it for other emergencies or emergencies that I knew coming up. And that's what I would use it for. I built my emergency fund up by putting in $50 a paycheck, every paycheck, until I realized that, I went back and looked at it one time and there was $1,600 in there. You know? So it's a real easy thing to do. And it's a way to, if you've got the ability to afford it, continue to build that up. You want to get $1,000 into your emergency fund as quickly as you can if you're working and you make over $20,000 a year. If you make under that, then $500. But you want to start with that, and you want to get into saving things. Now, some people said, listen, eventually you're going to buy a new car, right? Or you're going to have to put a down payment on one. You should be putting money in, maybe even a separate account for a brand new car, so that as that money, it's going to happen in 2 or 3 years, calculate what it's going to cost you, and eventually you'll get to a place where you're buying a new car instead of putting it on financing.
Yep.
So and that's the whole point. And you don't get to live as rich today because you're doing some of the things you're doing for the future.
Yep.
But you'll live wonderfully in your future.
Dealerships will give you better deals if you offer cash.
Yeah.
They don't say that instead of financing it. If you offer cash, they'll offer you better deals.
Yeah. Yep. That's money in the bank to
That's
them
right
then
yes.
and there.
Yes.
So.
A lot of people don't have pensions anymore either.
Yeah.
One of those.
All right. So let me. Let's.
All right. Thank you.
Let's close.
You, John.
Give him a hand. John will be back. John will be back with us next week.
I'll go in more into depth on this too. So if you really want to fill it out, you might have some questions about it. So.
Ed, would you close us in prayer?
We have a prayer out front. Anybody wants to be part of that right after this?
All right, Lord, we thank you for John. We thank you for just the trials that he's gone through, and that he can bring them to us, Lord God. And we thank you for the lessons that you've given us, Lord. Bless John as he continues to be financially at peace, Lord, and we just pray that we would have a good day today in your presence. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.